thinking about pumpkins and pubs and posture on the programme today. We'll start with the posture. We'll save the pumpkins and pubs for later. You know how it is sometimes in life. You just have to get the difficult bit out of the way and then you can enjoy the rewards later on, which is not necessarily the best way to be introducing my my guest, who's going to be on shortly, Alex Newton, the chiropractor, making out that, that this is the difficult subject. But you know how it is. You know, you might think that being told how to sit, how to deal with some of the wrongdoings of your life in order to be a little less stiff, hunched. Yeah, you got to change that. You got to change. Oh, I've got to change. No, I'll sit hunched. I don't mind sitting hunched. But perhaps you need to just think about how the posture is, especially with lockdown having in the past, maybe you were at home a bit more, and there's potentially more of this to come. So a good time, I think, to talk with your friendly neighbourhood chiropractor, Alex Newton. Morning to you. Hello, how are you doing?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. I'm trying to sit up straight.
And good.
Yes. Well, I've got a few things I want to run by you in terms of posture and stuff, but what do you think, looking back now on the last 6 months and now looking forward to potential more restrictions, what do you think is happening to the nation's and particularly Nottinghamshire's joint health? Well, how's it changed us?
Well, there's two aspects really that that concern us, that we see quite a lot in the clinic is two groups of people: the people who are work who are desk bound, and obviously the restraints and the constrictions and the poor posture that go related with that, which is what you've been discussing, and then the older population who are retired who aren't desk bound, but do worry us because they're not getting out and about as much. So that also is a great concern, because you know, just the simple trips to the supermarket and going to meet up for coffee and going to social groups with their friends keeps them a little bit more active, and those things aren't happening. And we're seeing a lot of our older generation and our older population sort of seizing up, and we all know that after 2 weeks of not doing it, 2 weeks not going to the gym, you really feel like when you go back again, you've never been to the gym before. So for an older person, 2 weeks of not doing any sort of regular physical exercise, even if it's just out and about walking, going around the supermarkets and things like that, it really is taking a toll on their joints, on their muscles, because they lose muscle tone very, very quickly. They lose, and that affects their balance. It also affects then their confidence. And then we have this vicious circle that they become frightened of going out because they're frightened of falling. And then that makes them be less mobile. And then we're on this, say, vicious circle. So there's two groups of people that we're concerned with. But with regards to people over the last 6 months, a lot of people were sent home, working from home, and we have discussed at length how people should set up, you know, not sit on that dining chair, try and get an office chair, and make sure that your laptop and is, because a lot of people have been working on laptops, separate that keyboard and screen out so we get much better posture, so we're sitting more upright and we haven't got this sort of hunched forward over the laptop. I hear of people literally perching on the corner of their bed, putting a laptop on the dressing table or whatever in their bedroom and working a posture like that, which is really cause for concern. So trying to get everybody to separate the screen out, have a separate screen and or a separate keyboard, sort of setting up their laptop into a sort of PC type of scenario. A lot of businesses have been absolutely fabulous in offloading a lot of furniture because nobody's in the office. They're trying to make space in the office when people are in the office. So to catch a monitor.
So that's worth doing, is it? Because I was looking at the BBC. BBC has a sort of thing going on like that. And I was thinking, well, do I want a BBC office chair at home, really? I've got plenty of chairs. But you recommend that an office chair... is better than a dining room chair if you're going to be sitting, even at the dining room table, for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. absolutely, because you've got the little bit more support. You may have two arms where you, if you're bobbing up and down a little bit more, you've also got sort of a bit of a probably a swivel mechanism, which can sort of keep you a little bit more mobile. And we have talked before about, you know, the cheese wedges and the little air cushions that you can get that can all sort of keep lots of movement in the small of the back there. But certainly a very flat, particularly a wooden dining chair is probably not ideal. You know, people are using cushions and pillows and things like that to prop themselves up. But if you've got, you can get your hands on an operator's chair, an office type chair, then that would be much better, because of the height is also adjustable. And you can get that height adjusted to the table or the workstation that you're at. But it's really worth doing that. But over the last couple of weeks, we've obviously seen a change. I know there's the pending lockdown again, but a lot of businesses are keen to get people back into the office, even if it's a little bit or part time. And then we have another scenario occurring, is that they seem to be transporting their office between home and office. So they've got huge bags with laptops and paperwork and that sort of thing, and physically lifting that all up, and 2 or 3 days a week, and they may not be consecutive days, so they may be, you know, shifting that stuff 2 or 3 times. So carrying heavy bags again backwards and forwards to work. If they're using public transport, they may be walking quite a way between the office and the tram stop or the train station or whatever. So making sure that, you know, you've got your backpack and you're packing your laptop into there, so you're carrying it tight on your back so it's not straining your back. You're not carrying it on your shoulder, causing neck and shoulder problems and ultimately lower back issues.
Okay, so if we can hang on to the notion of a transition phase and talk about that in a few minutes with Alex Newton, the chiropractor from Beeston Chiropractic Clinic. But yeah, the notion of being in two places to work now, sometimes at home, sometimes in the office, is becoming, as you say, a reality for many people. I'm interested in talking a bit more about older people and that problem of losing the habit of being mobile and the impact that can have, and also what can be done about all of this. Naturally, Alex will give you some guidance on that, and whether the things that you can wear around your shoulders and your middle that apparently are miracle cures for bad posture, whether they indeed have much benefit. So a couple of things that you mentioned that we can pick up on. As I've said, I want to talk a bit more about older people and mobility, but this period of transition, which I suspect is going to become the norm maybe for a year or so. Nobody can predict. I'm not giving any official guidance or advice here, but it does feel as though we're going to go through periods where the number of cases is rising and we have to have some restrictions. That will lead to a lowering in the number of cases, and they can ease the restrictions to try and keep the economy going and keep businesses going, Alex. And so we're going to have a bit of a roller coaster. And throughout that, people might find, oh, this week I've got to go into work for 3 days. Next week I'm only in work one day, but I've got to work from home the other days. And so you can see the problem, Alex. You were outlining this portable office thing. What would you say for minimising the damage?
Yes, it is something we're starting to see and have seen over the last couple of weeks, that there seems to be sort of 2 days one week and then 3 days the following week, but they're not consecutive days. And therefore, they're having to cart laptops and paperwork and that sort of thing from A to B and back again. The cause for concern is posture. So remembering to dust out that rucksack that has been sat in the corner that you used to take to work before, and wear it properly, wear it with both arms through the straps so it's sitting neat and snug on the back of your shoulders and the upper back area. Or if you have got a lot to transport around, maybe one of those sort of little trolleys, briefcases with wheels and long handles. So again, you're not compromising the posture there. But once you get to work, all the things that we talked about setting up at home, that's all lovely, good seating and a nice separate monitor and keyboard and that sort of thing, make sure that you are hooking up into a separate monitor at work, that laptop, because you don't want to transport the data in any other way, or you don't have a cloud to transport your data across from or to access that. But make sure You know, it's likely that someone else has been sitting on that chair. It may not be your chair that you go back to, because we know that office environments have been changed substantially over the last few months. Employers have tried to create space within the offices to get your social distancing correct and things. So your desk and your chair may not be there. So spend 5 minutes making sure your chair is the right height, and making sure that your monitor is the right height, and separate that out from your keyboard or your laptop. Make sure that your eyes are in line with the top of the screen, and make sure that you're sitting square onto your monitor as well, because we see a lot of people that everything's sort of just at an angle at the side, because there's perhaps a chest of drawers underneath the desk and they have to twist slightly, and then that will, doing that for sort of 8 hours in a day, will start to create tension in one side of the neck, and then you can wake up the next morning with that stiff neck, which we all hate having. Obviously drinking plenty of water through the day, that's important to sort of keep well hydrated, and then making sure that you have breaks through the day, standing up and sitting down, resetting that posture, because we tend to sort of slide into the wrong position if we're not careful.
Well,
every 40 minutes or so, stand up and sit down again.
Those two go hand in hand. Drink plenty of water and take plenty of breaks. They kind of work together, those things. So excellent way of dealing with the problems of working from home and working from work, which seems to be continuing the scenario for many people. I'm Alan Clifford, and you'd recognise me because I have a slightly stooped posture. And I blame radio for that, Alex. Alex Newton, the chiropractor. Too many years sat leaning into the microphone saying, "Hi everybody, how are you today?" And it's taken its toll. So thinking about this, I noticed on the internet people sort of going, "Oh, these straps, you wear these straps and it corrects your posture." Do you know the sort of thing I mean? They look like a parachute harness, or as I said earlier, a rucksack without the sack, just the ruck.
Yeah. We often have patients ask about if they will help posture, and sometimes with the younger children as well, where sort of teenagers who are terrors for leaning forward and rolling their shoulders forward. Nowadays, more working over their phones and things, which we now call tech neck. It is official tech neck. Creates a lot of pressure on the base of the skull, down the neck and to the upper back there. And parents sometimes ask if wearing those supports for their children is something that they should be doing. But being aware of your posture, so you don't have to wear those. I suppose there is a call for those if you need to wear them, but really not becoming reliant on them, I think I have to advise. And maybe just wearing them for very short periods of time as an interim between then and actually working on postural muscles and giving yourself a chance to redevelop the upper back muscles.
Interesting.
So short term usage over a short period of time. I suspect if people get relief because they need relief now, but looking at the bigger picture, looking at the long term use of them, wearing them long term, as with low back supports and things like that, switches off those muscles, the ones that you're trying to switch on, and that could be detrimental to long term.
So that's interesting. Isn't it? A danger of overuse of such things. If you think they're making a difference, you sort of get dependent on them. Daniel's in Mansfield. Daniel sits at his desk for 12 hours or more per day. Do you use any artificial supports, Daniel, whilst you're sitting vlogging?
Well, I have at morning, but to both of you,
hello.
I have a desk that I can raise and lower, so I can stand up and edit my vlogs, or stand up and stream, or I can sit down and stream.
What do you find yourself doing most then? Do you stand or sit most of all?
I think I'm like you, Alan, if I'm honest. And I sit down a lot and I lean into my microphone, talking to my viewers when I'm playing Minecraft or another game.
Yeah.
And I do, when Alex was saying about tech neck, I think I'm her number one culprit for that, if I'm honest.
So, Alex, what's he got to do? Learn to sit properly?
Yeah, he's halfway there. He's doing a fantastic job by having a sit and stand desk. So variety is the key, and changing it around, making sure you're having those breaks. But standing up for an hour, sitting down for an hour, stretching in between times, and making sure that your equipment is as close to you as it needs to be. So if you are speaking into a microphone, make sure that microphone is high enough, even if you have to put it on some books or a plinth or something to raise it up so that you're not leaning forward, your chin's not. We tend to sort of jut our chins forward, which takes the whole of the head forward in front of our shoulders. The amount of weight and pressure that goes onto those muscles at the back of the neck there will obviously lead to headaches and head pain and neck and shoulder tension later. So keep it moving, keep it different, alternate it every hour. 40 minutes we usually say, stand up, sit down, rotate those shoulders, put a little beeper on your phone or whatever it takes to remind you, because those 40 minutes come around extremely quickly. Mm. The problem with this age is life goes on very fast without us realising how long we've been sat there in the same position.
Well, what I do is I have on a particular channel that I stream on, you have channel points, and I think for 5,000 points people can redeem it, and it tells me to check my posture, so I get a big alert on my screen. I have a loud noise that always scares me and it always makes me jump, and it says, Daniel, sort your back out. And then I know, it's like, oh, and I tell them that they've made me jump, and I laugh at them, but then I do twist my back and stuff.
Okay.
It's a crazy headphones. Modern world we live in, isn't it? Yeah. So listening to that, but
headphones with a microphone, so you're not leaning into a microphone again. Maybe that's so you can sit in a neutral posture without again jutting the head forward to reach the microphone and get that that clear message across.
Thank you, Daniel. Hearing from somebody who sits at a desk 12 hours a day, sits down, stands up, and then gets a jolt every now and then through his work to remind him to.
Like
check his
shot, doesn't
it? It does, doesn't it? Right. I'm not sure, but any reminder is good, I think. That's again something you can build into your life in whichever way. You might have an egg timer in the kitchen, and you could just use that as a way, perhaps, if it's like an hour long
timer.
Remember
to reset it again.
Yes, yes. I'm not suggesting that every 3 minutes with the standard egg timer is what you want to. Phone into your boss. Well, I've not done a great deal of work. I heard on the radio, I have to have an egg timer. And every 3 minutes, I have to stand up and walk around the garden. So I've not done any work today. Right. The weather forecast on the way shortly from the ever upright Alex. I think it's Alex today. The other Alex, not Alex Newton, the chiropractor, but Alex Hamilton, the weather forecaster. Before we bring the two Alexes together, let's have a quick look at David in Sherwood's note. I have a trapped nerve in my neck. Can a chiropractor sort that out? I'm sure you can, Alex. What is actually a trapped nerve? It's a phrase people use. Oh, I've got a trapped nerve. What is it?
It will be some pain radiating either down the neck or the shoulders or the arm from the nerves that exit between the vertebrae in the neck. The physicalness of actually the joint actually pinching on the nerves, it's very unlikely that that could happen unless there's some degenerative changes. It's sort of because there's a lot of packing, if you like, lots of tissue around that area. So if there's an inflammation of that tissue or a movement of that tissue, it could be irritating the nerve. So it's probably more of an irritation rather than a physical trapping, but it can give rise to pains, pins and needles, numbness, muscle weakness if it's there long term. So addressing what's causing it, what level's causing it, because there's lots of nerves that come out, there's seven nerves that come out of the neck that go into the arm itself. So you've got seven different vertebrae that can be potentially causing the problem. But obviously it all relates to muscles and spasm in muscles that could be pinching those vertebrae and causing an irritation of the nerve. So addressing the cause of the problem, which obviously what chiropractors do with regards to our consultation and then an examination, finding out what's actually causing it, and then providing the correct type of advice and treatment to release that nerve and get you back to wellness again.
Final thought from you, Alex, today, if we may, that you touched on the notion of losing muscle tone, and particularly in older people. I come back to this because I know somebody who is older. It's kind of not going out very much, doesn't like the idea of having to wear a mask, a bit concerned about the great outdoors. And now when they do try to move about, they're remarking that they feel a bit less steady on their feet. Could be just getting older, really. But it could be, as you described earlier, that losing the muscle tone. What can you do in your house to try to avoid that happening?
It's a big effort for our ageing population to keep mobile in times like we are in at the moment. But walking on the spot, stepping up and down, but sort of set aside some periods of time in the day where you are going to be active. A small step, just going up and down the bottom two steps, or if you feel safe enough to go up and down stairs. Maybe if you've got a downstairs loo to make life a little bit easier for you, actually use the upstairs loo every time you have to go to the loo. It's just making excuses to do a little bit more activity and do a few more steps around the house. Mm. But one of the things that we've recommended loads and loads of over the last couple of weeks are these sitting in the chair pedals. You can get them, they're relatively cheap from online services, or you can get them from various shops around the area. You sit in your armchair and you pedal. Mm-hmm. And two things are happening there. One is you're building up that muscle tone, and you can have it set at the resistance that you want to. So start off relatively gently, just a few minutes, and build it up. And then you can build the time up, you can build the resistance up, and you can sit there and watch TV or whatever and building up that. But not only is it building up the muscle tone within the legs, but it's improving circulation. So it's going to help you if you've got swollen ankles and swollen legs, and it's going to pump that those fluids back to the heart. Because we don't have a heart that pumps, or we don't have a pump that pumps everything back to the heart. The heart pumps it away from the body to the rest of the body, but you've got to use muscle contraction to actually get that fluid back to the heart. So keeping those ankles and feet moving with a rotating pedal type mechanism is a really, really good way to do that. Or, you know, if you've got the space in your house, you know, a little exercise bike or a cross trainer or anything like that that's keeping something moving and doing it on a regular basis, and set out, be timetabled about it. Do it every day. Do it two or three times a day if you're not doing it for long periods in the time. Try and be really disciplined and help yourself, because it does affect your mobility. It does affect your confidence. And when we can all have the confidence to go out and about again, it will be a shame if you feel that you just physically can't do that because you've lost that muscle tone and balance.
Alex, brilliant advice as always, and you stay safe, you stay supple and lithe, and we'll talk with you again soon, I'm sure, on BBC Radio Nottingham.